And I want to tell you this here. I am sure of one thing. For every believer, God is going to see us through to the very end, no matter what happens. No matter what the price of anything becomes, we're going to have an abundance of it. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm looking to make word people out of everybody under the sound of my voice, to know the promises of God, to know who you are in God, to know what belongs to you in God, and to remember the word. Those answers are in the word. Man doesn't do well on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Can I get an amen? John 8:31 and 32 says, if you continue in my word, then and only then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. Sweetheart, would you stand up and come up here with me for a moment? And aren't these some lovely people here tonight?
Amen. Amen.
We got that. Well, sweetie, why don't you pray?
Father, we just thank you for this day, Father, and every opportunity that there was in it, Father, to show Jesus Christ to someone, Father. And we pray right now for the service, Father, for your word, that we receive it, Father, that it takes root and we apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sweetie. If you would take your Bibles, and we are going to go, first of all, to Daniel chapter 4, verses 28 through 33. And we're going to start there. There's a word that's been brewing in me for quite a while, and I just want to share it with you. This was the time to share it. And if you're there, I want to encourage you to bring your Bible and to know your Bible, because therein, there's your future. I said, that's your future. It's in the Word. If you're a Christian, you take a person that becomes born again, and then they begin to feed on the Word, the promises of God. They're unstoppable. They will fulfill God's plan for their life. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm going to take you to a certain place, a certain idea. We're going to be looking at one of the mistakes that King Nebuchadnezzar made. He was the king of all the known earth at the time. He was very powerful. He was the one that put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Now, my thought is, we've got to do everything in God. We have to be in the Lord. My thought is, the more that you're stressed and feel like you have to do it on your own with God's help, that's not going to help you. That's not going to help you at all. You have to be where you can get a hold of God, know who you are in God, and depend on God. I depend on him more in the last few years than at any time in my life. And let's just read a little bit, beginning at verse 28, where it says, but all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. And by the way, that's where Saddam Hussein was from. And he had a picture in one of his palaces of himself shaking hands with Nebuchadnezzar, that same spirit, that same evil spirit, that Antichrist spirit. And as he looked across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. I want you to know that's the wrong attitude. I want you to know that that's never true. I want you to know that God has to help us. God gets to get the glory. While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer the ruler of this kingdom." I'm going to tell you something. People all over the world walked out of their house this morning, checked their watch, got their morning coffee, went to their job, thinking for sure they will be home in the evening, and they're in the morgue tonight. The closer you live to God, the better off you are. And you can't believe in your heart that you're close to God if you don't know his 7,500 promises that have been made to mankind and stand on those promises. I think it was, you're Kaylee, right? I think the first time I met you, I could tell you were a word person. I could tell that you had hidden some of the word in your heart because that's what came out of your mouth. See, anything else in times of trouble or times of prosperity or any times, if it ain't the word of God, you could do better. Amen? So you will be driven from the human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn. Until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird claws. 7 years. He went through 7 years of insanity. Why did that come about? Because he said, look what I did. If you're not careful, I've said this. I can't depend on anybody. I got to do it myself for many years. And you know what? That didn't help me. That drove me to a wrong place. It made my life hard. And I have changed quite a bit, and I've changed my whole life. You've got to lean on the everlasting arms. We could entitle this message, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let me tell you, this is what I realize every morning. This world will go on without me. I'm privileged to be in this world, and more I depend on God for everything. And I'm looking to the Lord, and that gives, you know what that gives me? That gives me great confidence that everybody that's with us here in this church, I can't talk for other churches, there's all kinds of churches. But this church here believes in the promises of God, and you're just beginning to see what great things we're about to do. You're going to see right over here, the Manna Center go in. Very likely, this fall, we'll start building the Manna Center. We received the largest grant in Arkansas. There was $1 million. We got $300,000 of that. Now listen, to feed this community, to spread the gospel. And we didn't do that by our own energy and our own smartness. We did that with the help of God. Look here, for every person in this room, young or old, God has a plan for your life. And it's a good plan. I know the plans I have for you, the Lord says in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. It's a good plan with a good future, but the only way that you're going to find it, verse 13, is when you seek me with all of your heart. And that's what it takes to be a believer, to seek God with all of your heart. You know, it just happened. I'd already decided I was going to preach this message, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. But this morning, Millie got this devotional by Sarah Young for this year. She got it for all 4 of our girls. And I know Kelly's been reading it every morning. And this morning, the heading read like this: Sovereign God, I need to give up the illusion of being in control of my life. Let me give everybody some advice. Frank Sinatra wrote a song and sang it, I Did It My Way. If I were you, I wouldn't do it your way. It'll surely fail. What's going to work if you seek God enough to find out, what do you have? What can I do to help you, God? What can I do to show? You know, according to Revelation chapter 4, we were created to bring God pleasure. Mankind, all of the earth is created so that God can be pleasurable and enjoy. So we can't do that if we're running to and fro and forgetting him, forgetting to pray over our meals, forgetting to do all the things that makes a true believer. You know, no church is bigger than its tithers and its people that will help, people that will serve. And let me just make this perfectly clear to everybody in this room. You were saved to serve. Your Christian experience will not be fulfilled if you won't serve. You've got to be a server. And what God has done with us, I've never seen anybody work as hard as Pastor Kelly. I've never seen anybody serve people so hard. And I could not be prouder of her. We should all be proud and get behind her and help her. Amen? Because we're just about to see things that are going to get you very, very excited. I see some things beginning to happen that are going to be great. And here is what the devotional said this morning. And when I heard that, I said, Millie, I've got to use that in my message tonight. I need to give up the illusion of being in control of my life. When things are going smoothly, it's easy for me to feel as if I'm the one in charge. Who's in charge of your life tonight? I'm not asking you if you're born again. I'm asking you, who is in charge of your life? And if you in your heart can say, Jesus is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you're on the right track. Anything else, you're never going to get where God wants you to be and get everything he wants to give you. Yet the longer I perceive myself as my own master and the more comfortable I become in this role, the more at risk I am. I can enjoy times of smooth sailing and be thankful for them, but I must not become addicted to a sense of mastery over my life. See, Frank Sinatra wrote a song, I Did It My Way. Man, when you pass before the throne, you don't want to throw that out there to God that you did it your way. Amen? For many shall come to me and say, Lord, I was a philanthropist. I was good. I even did signs and wonders and did this and this. And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You cannot know God apart from the promises in his Bible. Those of you know who Smith Wigglesworth was, he was a powerful word of man of God. And he said something I never forgot. He said, I do not know God by how I feel every day. Your feelings will get you in trouble. And if you follow your feelings, you're in trouble. You need to follow the word of God. If you'll eat the word of God, you'll have an experience with the Holy Spirit God, and he'll lead you in the right direction. He has a direction for you every day. The word says a good person's steps are created by God. See, the person that will follow God, that will do what God wants to do, and take as few vacations from God as you can. The little vacations from God, that's called backsliding. When you get into that, that's when people die. They get hooked up with the wrong people. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time. They buy the wrong vehicle. They do this wrong. They do that wrong. How many wrongs can you afford to have in your life? None. I've learned from experience that storms will come and uncertainties will loom on the horizon. If I cling to control and feel entitled to have things go my way, I'm likely to sink when I encounter difficulties. The Word of God teaches two things. Number one, you can die before your time. That's what the Word of God says. And quite frankly, my dear, I don't care about your feelings. You can die before your time. And the Word of God also says, if you live with God, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about compassion. If you have a deep love for God, you'll have a deep love for his promises found in his word, and you'll do better, and you'll live longer. I'm going to ask you to consider where you are tonight. I will not take an invitation tonight, but I'm going to invite everybody to examine their heart as we do on communion, every communion night. Communion is for a believer what an oil change is for a new car or an old car. It's helpful. If I cling to control and feel entitled to having things go my way, I'm likely to sink when I encounter difficulties. Let me tell you something. Nobody can stand behind any pulpit and tell you that you're never going to have trials. For John 16:33 says, in this life, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome in this life. Follow me. Get to know me. Start your day with me. Before you eat anything, pray over it. Brother Larry brought that up some weeks ago. Brother Angelo, he don't eat nothing. He don't put nothing in his mouth unless he prays over it. I fashioned myself after the Word of God. There were in the days of the Apostle Paul, there was thoughts and ideas that there were certain foods that were not permissible for Christians to eat. But see, that's really not true. And here's what the Apostle said, I believe, to the Romans. He said, everything is good to eat if you'll eat it with two things. If you'll eat it with thanksgiving and if you'll eat it in faith. I believe what I put in my mouth, what I eat, is not going to take my life. That's what I believe in my heart. That's what I live. I'm 70 years old. Bless God, I've gone back to one of my old thingies. Everybody say thingies. Now, let me tell you what a thingy is. I'm a coon hunter. And I've gone back to going out at night. Now, my wife is there with me to keep me alive. For when I get out to that tree and I shoot that piece of game out, many times I heard a guy say that today. You get vertigo when you get older and you forget where you are. And I just say, Millie, make sure that phone is charged up and turned on. And I call her and say, sweetie, honk the horn. And if you could hear me and the dog, shine your light my way. We were out there the other night, bless God, and the vehicle that came in, two sheriff deputies came out there, and they were going to wool us around, and they've been having trouble over by the pump station with crimes around as they're working, building things back up, still from the flood of 2019. And they came to Millie first. What did they say to you first? Because I was out in the woods.
What you doing out here?
What did you tell them?
I said, well, I'm the horn honker. Well, my husband calls me, I honk his horn.
Listen, man does not live by bread alone, but by every beep that your wife can give you when you're out in the dark at night carrying a possum and two dogs trying to take it away from you and knock you over. And then I got there and I just said, hey, my name is Brother Angelo. I said, my daughter is Kelly Kitson. I said, she is the chaplain of the jail. I said, furthermore, I said, no, don't go away. She is the humanitarian of the year. And they said, yes, sir. And I said, this in my hand is a possum. You probably can't tell by the face. I shot his face off, but that was a possum. And they said, God bless you, Brother Angel. I said, I got one more thing to say before you leave us. What are you doing here? And they told me what had happened, that they've been having trouble out there. And I said, one more thing I want you to know, and please tell Sheriff Massey, as for me and my family, we're voting for him. Now, you vote for who you want to, but I happen to love Jason Massey and his wife. They're both lawyers, and they've done us a good job. And I don't have anything against what's his name. Nothing at all. Please realize that. I really don't. Help me to trust you at all times. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, I'm not going to tell you there's not scary things ahead, because there is scary things ahead. But we need to stick together. We need to continue to serve. We need to continue to tithe. We need to continue to give offerings. We need to continue to turn the other cheek. We need to continue to forgive people. We need to continue to act like Christians. And let God change us from the inside out. Thank you for using adversity to set me free from the illusion of being in control. When my circumstances and my future are full of uncertainties, I can turn to you and take refuge in you. I want to find my security in knowing you, the Master who is sovereign over the storms of my life, over everything. Storms come to everybody. There's nothing I can teach you that's the truth to immune you from storms. But I can tell you this from what I've learned in the Word, in His promises, no storm lasts forever. There's a blessing heading your way. If you're in the middle of a storm right now, if there's things that are going wrong, put your hand up. If there's anybody in this room, I'm telling you, there's a blessing coming. I'm glad you came. You needed to hear this. You really needed to hear this. You're on the right track. Find them promises, Kaylee, like you have been. There's a blessing coming to you. God will not allow you to do without, only to the point that will change you, young lady, that will help you, not to hurt you. Do you believe that might be true? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Amen. Somebody give Jesus a clap offering. I've got a couple more places to go, but I can promise you this. If I run out of time, this is a streamlined service. We don't stay here just to be doing it. We're going to get you out here by close to about 8 o'clock, and you got to try. That was some of the best-looking food I have seen that we got today. Dwayne, wasn't that stuff great? I mean, can I say this, Kelly, about some of the food? We've got sub sandwiches as long as your arm. And we've got one for you. 16 inches long. Mill, I said, I've never seen anything like this. Can you do something with it? Cut it in half. You take half, I'll take the other half. We have got blackberries still, do we? All kinds of fruit. Help me. What else have we got? Oranges. Potatoes. Asparagus. See, not junk. We got good stuff. This past Thanksgiving, this past Christmas, turkeys were sky high. Ain't nobody in this church had to buy no turkey. We gave away, I don't know, maybe 100, 115 turkeys. God is the God of blessing. God is the God of more than enough. And I want you to get that inside of you. And it's not because we're perfect. But because we belong to Him, He's ours, we're His. He loves us, and He takes care of His own. If we would turn to the book of, and if you want to see this devotional, I'm not sure about all devotionals, but me and Millie start every day with this. It's a good one. She picked it out. Just come and see it. They're easy to acquire, easy to get. Where'd you get that, sweetie? She got it at Sam's, and you could get the information if you want to use a, I would recommend that. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and verse 18 for my next verse, Deuteronomy 8 and 18. And here's the thing, what people don't do. Here's the failure of the person trying to serve God. They forget God. They begin to think, I did this on my own. No. No, we didn't. If you walked in here tonight, God helped you. God has angels in the unseen world that helps you. It says this, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant promise that he confirmed through your ancestors with an oath. We are all children of Abraham in a light. Christ has been redeemed, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessings of Abraham would come on every believer. Everybody that says, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I need your help. I need to be saved. I want to live in your life. I want to become yours. Help me, God. And we have to remember, I'll tell you how I feel at 70. I feel like God has been with me. I used to cry at night as a child for a glass of milk, and many times just cried myself to sleep because I didn't get it. I didn't have it. I came from a broken, poor, poor family. We were dependent on the Salvation Army and others who would bring us warm blankets and eggs and a little bit of food. And at the age of 19, for the first time in my life, I heard that I had to be born again, and somebody explained that to me. I did not get up from that table until I'd ask Christ into my life. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm more excited now than I was before. I've never met anybody kinder than God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I never encountered anybody that was more willing to be patient with me. And I've lived long enough to realize where my bread is buttered. It's in the finished work of God's only begotten Son, Jesus, on the cross, that whosoever shall call upon him will not be lost, but will receive eternal life. Listen, I'm at the point that I understand that life is like a morning fog. Billy and I were talking this morning. We had fog this morning, as many of you know. It's here, and as soon as the sun comes out, then it's gone. Every day, multiple times in a day, we need to decide if we're following Christ. We need to make Christ-centered, Word-centered, Holy Ghost-centered decisions every day. And it's easy to mess up. It's easy to say the wrong thing by accident, but that's what communion is for. Communion is for the children of the Most High God. It is an opportunity to say, Lord, I think I'm missing a little something. I think I could do better. I just plead the blood right now. Heavenly Father, I plead the blood of Jesus on us right now. Help us to always realize how important you and your Son and your Spirit are to us. I'm going to go to one more place. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 20 through 23. This is Herod. This is his final days on earth. And it says here, all this took about 450 years. After that, God gave them judges to rule over them till the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people begged for a king. And God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man, tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man whom God said, I have found a son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Now, something is wrong here. I know that you've got the right place. I might have the wrong place here. What does verse 23 say? And it is one of King David's descendants, Jesus, who is God's promised Savior of Israel. I made a mistake here, but I'm going to tell you the account of Herod, the last day on his life. He got before the people of Israel, and he made a speech. And when he made that speech, everybody applauded him and said, that is the voice of, that is the words of a king, of a God. And he did not give God any glory for it. And an angel struck him right there. And he became full of worms and he died because he did not give God the glory. And forgive me, I don't know what I've done here. Is that what it looks like? Okay, I'm going to read it then out of Acts 12 and 23. Please forgive me, y'all. 12 and 23. 12 and 20 starts with the death of Herod Agrippa. Okay, now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, so they sent a delegation to make peace with him, because their cities were dependent upon Herod's country for food. And he's got it up there. That's good. The delegates won the support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant, and an appointment with Herod was granted. When the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robe, sat on the throne, and made a speech to them. The people gave him a great ovation, shouting, "It's the voice of a god and not a man." Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and he died. I had a friend in California, and his name was Charlie. And he just became worse and worse the older he got. Became a drinker, and he did some wild and crazy things. And he was at a church, and he took a rock and threw it through the window, and he was struck right there. My friend John Kester went to see him, and he said to them, Charlie Bearhorse told John, he said, I've gone too far. This is the end of my life. I've mocked God for the last time. My life is over. And he died that night. Now, you don't have to die. You can live and not die. But what each of us has to do is acknowledge that we're here by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he wasn't perfect. He felt terrible. He said, I killed some of God's children before I got saved. Now, church, all I'm asking from you tonight, all God wants you to do is acknowledge his lordship over your life. If you're a Christian, you can do that. Let's make an altar where we are. Let's make our peace with God like we do every week, like we should do every morning. And let's just trust the Lord.